But you said you'd seen the film about the Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Was it a surprise to you to see what the Americans are doing in Guantanamo?
No, it wasn't a surprise at all. I mean, I've been following it, but it really brought it home. That scene, did you see the movie?
No, I haven't seen it.
There was a really terrible scene where they put one of these prisoners in a little cell, and they turn up the music loud. Really horrible music, you know. Blasting his ear for hours. And then they have a guard next to him, you know, pushing him down, saying, confess that you're Al-Qaeda.
So it's a torture.
Yeah, torture, outright torture. And worse than torture, I mean, this I'm sure will damage your hearing and even your brain. This is really vicious and malicious and unforgivable. I mean, the whole idea of interrogations is just a euphemism for torture. Because, if somebody brings you in to be interrogated, what if you say, no, I don't want to be interrogated. I have the right to remain silent. Then they're going to beat you up and smash you, right? So this whole, the whole thing is just torture. That's what it's all about.
That's what it is. But I would, at the end of our conversation, I would like to talk a little bit about the chess, and maybe about the chess of past century, and maybe the former part of the last century. I was reading about you, some comments about your thinking in chess, and it didn't surprise me, but it was a wonderful comment in the book of Vladimir Postner about your playing. I don't know how to playing strategy, you could say.
Yeah, this was from his book, Parting with Illusions.
Yeah,
this came out in 1990. And he used to be the voice, he used to be on Radio Moscow.
Yeah, he was the official.
And he's a very unusual person. He didn't speak Russian until I think he was in his late teens.
Okay.
Yeah, he was born in France, brought up in America. I think he left America when he was about 15. Went to East Germany for a couple of years. Didn't come to Russia till he was about 17.
That's really strange.
Yes. Yeah. But he's a linguist. I think he speaks many languages, several languages perfectly. So he mastered Russian. And anyway, I've listened to hundreds and hundreds of his commentaries through the years. I think he was on there for about 18 years on Radio Moscow, almost every day.
Yeah.
And I never really knew who this guy was. I just knew he spoke perfect American English, and he had what sounded to me like a Jewish name. I didn't know where this guy was coming from, you know. But anyway, he wrote this book, and he said some very nice things about you. Can I read this?
Yes, please.
Okay, this is on Fisher.jp also, by the way.
Yeah,
you can download it there. This is from page 272 of the book, Parting with Illusions. I remember Mark Taimanov, an international grandmaster, and at one time a contender for the world chess crown, talking about losing his match with Bobby Fischer by the implausible score of 6-0. For those of you whose knowledge of chess is limited, I should make it clear that grandmasters never lose matches by a score of whatever to nothing, especially considering that a draw counts for half a point and more games, and more games are drawn during a match than are won or lost. So when Taimanov fell to Fischer 6-0, it was a sensation that rocked the chess world. It was, in fact, such an unbelievable affront that the Soviet Chess Federation stripped Taimanov of his title as Grand Master of the USSR. I just want to interject something here. The Jew-controlled press is stripping me of my title of Grand Master by their lies in the press. They refer to me in the press now, and I have the clippings, as former Grand Master.
Former Grand
Master? Yeah, yeah.
And is this the American Chess Federation?
No, this is just the Jew press lying. Yeah, I have the clippings.
It's impossible.
Several times, not once, several times.
It's impossible to strip one of all.
Right, it's a permanent title.
It's a permanent title.
Yeah, then let me just continue. Okay. It was, in fact, such a... he fell to Fisher's six-zip. It was a sensation that rocked the chess world. It was, in fact, such an unbelievable affront that the Soviet Chess Federation stripped Taimanov of his title as Grand Master of the USSR.
Mm-hmm.
Later, when several other grandmasters were blitzed by Fisher, the Soviet Chess Federation realized its mistake, but refused to acknowledge it. To this day, Mark Taimanov retains the rank of international grandmaster, but has not had his Soviet ranking restored. Describing his famous defeat at the hands of the future world champion, Taimanov said, "When grandmasters play, they see the logic of their opponent's moves. One's moves may be so powerful that the other may not be able to stop him, but the plan behind the moves will be clear. Not so with Fisher. His moves did not make sense. At least to all the rest of us, they didn't. We were playing chess. Fisher was playing something else. Call it what you will. Naturally, there would come a time when we finally would understand what those moves had been about. But by then, it was too late. We were dead."
Mm-hmm.
And then he continues, this is interesting, "Gorbachev is that kind of a political player.
Mm-hmm.
No one understands his moves, not until it is too late. And that is why, in my opinion, he was able to rise through the echelons of power, through the Young Communist League, through the party ranks, up and up, all the way to the Politburo, and even be selected to the post of General Secretary. If anyone had been able to read his mind before that, Gorbachev would be dead." And he continues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he really speaks about your chess. It doesn't surprise us who remember your tournament and your match against Spassky in 72. Or even something else about you. I even have spoken to chess players on the street in New York City that remembered you playing chess there.
By the way, is Gorbachev still in town?
I don't know if he is. I think he was yesterday, but I don't know today.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't know his plans.
Yeah.
But about the chess masters of past century, who do you think is the greatest, apart from yourself, of course? I don't know about your own estimate of yourself, but of the others.
Well, chess, so much depends on opening theory.
Mm-hmm.
So the champions of, say, the last century,
mm-hmm.
The century before last, in the last century, they didn't know nearly as much as, say, I do and other players know about opening theory.
Yeah.
So if you just brought them back, from the dead and they played
Capablanca
cold, they wouldn't do well because they'd get bad openings.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might not do too well. But, of course, if they learned the openings, which they would very quickly, then they would... So, you cannot... My point is, you cannot compare the playing strength. You can only talk about natural ability more. You cannot... Because now there's so much more opening theory, so much more memorization.
Yeah.
Memorization is enormously powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, some kid of 14 today, or even younger, could get the opening advantage against Capablanca, or especially against the players of the previous century, from the 1900s, like Morphy and Steinitz and so on. You'd definitely get the opening advantage easily.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they'd still be able to outplay the young kid of today, but maybe not, because... Mm-hmm. Nowadays, when you get the opening advantage, not only do you get the opening advantage, but you know how to play the opening advantage.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many examples of what to do from this position.
Mm-hmm. And the possibilities
are known. So it's really deadly. It's very deadly. That's why I don't like chess anymore. It's
I know.
That's how I'm into,
You have said that before, that the possibilities are limited.
Yeah, but getting back to, the talents, I think Morphy and Capablanca... enormous talent. They're two of my favorites. Steinitz was very great too.
Yeah.
I Alekhine was great, but I'm not a big fan of his. Just my taste. It's not my taste. It's not my.
He's considered one of the greatest.
But I've studied his games a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I much prefer Capablanca than Morphy.
Mm-hmm. Is that because of some imagination or what you
call... Yeah, I think Halligan had a rather heavy style. I think Capablanca was much more brilliant and talented. He had a real light touch. Everybody I've ever spoken to who saw Capablanca play, mm-hmm. they still speak of him with awe. You could show him any position, they say instantly he would tell you the right move.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is an exaggeration, because they're quite weak. They wouldn't even know what the right move is if they saw it. But still, with so many people say that, there has to be something to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you met a lot of people that...
knew him. When I used to go to the Manhattan Chess Club back in the 50s, I met a lot of old-timers there, mm-hmm. who knew Capablanca, because he used to come around to the Manhattan mm-hmm. Club, I think, there in the 40s.
In the 40s,
before he
yeah.
died, yeah.
Yeah.
He died in the early 40s, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So you met...
And they just spoke about Capablanca with mm-hmm. awe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't...
And I've never... And it's impressed me, because it wasn't just one person, and I've never seen people speak about any chess player like that before or since, you know?
Well, they speak about you in that way. And,
well, that's
and
not
they do that in New York. You know, the chess players that play out in Boston Square, for example.
Oh, but Capablanca really was, he was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. He was. Yeah, he's the greatest.
Well, again, but if he, even he, if you study him objectively, had his weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
He would, especially when you would play over his games with his notes, he would make idiotic statements like, I played the rest of the game perfectly. My play in the rest of the game couldn't be improved upon. But then you play through it, and it's not true at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that was so great about Capablanca, not only was he a fantastic player, but he really spoke his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he said what he believed was the truth.
Yeah.
You know?
He didn't keep it for himself.
No, no.
Mm-hmm.
He really said what he felt,
mm-hmm.
which was wonderful, you know?
Mm-hmm. But
and, you know, he wanted to change the rules already back in, I think, the 20s.
Yeah?
He said chess was getting played out, and he was right.
Mm-hmm. It's even more so now.
Oh, now it's completely dead. It's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just memorization and prearrangement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible game now.
And the computers can do it.
It's a very uncreative game now.
And everything is known and there is nothing new.
Well, I know, let's not exaggerate, but it's really dead.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how are you spending your time in Iceland? Is it okay?
Yeah, very good, yeah. Yeah,
you got some new friends since you came here?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a really nice time. It's a very, kind of quiet, low-key life here.
Mm-hmm. You go to the shop and you go to the bookstore. And
yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
You have some nice chats.
Yeah.
How about the people, like everyday people you meet just on your way? Are they okay?
They're all friendly, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't had anybody, tell me I'm unhappy that you're here or something.
Nobody does.
No, no.
Mm-hmm. But you haven't been traveling.
No, I have. You mean in Iceland? I've traveled around a little bit. Yeah,
in Iceland. Yeah.
But I haven't left Iceland since I came. Yeah.
Why is that? You haven't left Iceland? Is it? Are you? Do you think you could still be? They could be on your. On your track, let's say.
It is possibly, yeah. It's possible, there was a very unpleasant experience there, to be kidnapped and to be treated like that,
Yeah, it's an experience you'll never forget.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll never forget it, because they may try and do it again. But if you see this movie, The Road to Guantanamo,
mm-hmm.
There's some scenes when some of the prisoners are giving problems for the guards.
Mm-hmm.
And then they call, some kind of, stormtrooper types. They're heavily armed,
Mm-hmm.
In body armor with the helmet and mm-hmm. all of this. About five of them come.
In combat,
right. That's it. They come back into the cell and then, beat them up and take them away. And they did the same thing to me. Several times, yes. I was taken to isolation twice, and also when I was kidnapped in the Narita airport, it was the mm-hmm. same. A whole bunch of guys jumped me. But twice, when I was in Yushiku detention center,
mm-hmm.
these people came with helmets and body armor. Yeah.
They did?
Same thing. Yeah, that's how they do it there, too. If any prisoner's giving trouble... See, normally the guards are just... you know, they don't have any weapon with them. They're just dressed normally. But when they have some problem, about five or six of them will come in body armor.
Yeah, compact.
Helmets, yeah.
Outfit,
with heavy
or...
boots, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're in very good physical condition, I can tell you. I think they're exercising every day, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you don't take the chances to travel abroad?
Well, no, I don't know. I will travel abroad, yeah.
You will.
I'm just waiting until the right moment.
For the right opportunity.
Yeah.
But you've been all over Iceland with your Icelandic friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And seen some interesting places, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Can I say something about this North Korea situation?
Yes.
I think I'm very disappointed with China and Russia, especially though with China. I just don't understand how they can stab North Korea in the back like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether this is all some kind of an elaborate game China's playing, or they're really serious about bringing down the North Korean regime. It looks like they're really serious about bringing down the regime. I think this is a disgrace. I mean, don't they know after the United States takes care of North Korea and Iran and Iraq and Pakistan, then they're going to go after the big countries. They're going to go after India and China and Russia.
Mm-hmm. So you think it's the Americans are just doing this to be able to conquer the world?
Yeah, definitely. The Jews. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is, I can't understand why they're doing this. Maybe they're bribed, or maybe these leaders in China have tons of money in U.S. banks, or I really don't know what, or maybe they're CIA agents. Why would they turn against the dear leader in North Korea is beyond me.
Well, Professor, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. And this interview is coming to an end. Við erum að ljúka hérna viðtali við Bobby Fischer. Við vorum fyrst að tala þá stórundalugur ástöðum svissnesks banka, UBS, að loka reikningum hans fyrirvaralaust og án skýringa. En Bobby hefur komið víða við, sagt upp bæði frá skák og ýmsu öðru, talað bandaríska utanríkisstefnu, fangelsi í Guantanamo eða fangabúðurnar og margt fleira. And Tessu Loki, Bobby Fischer, thank you so very much for being here with us.
You're welcome.
Okkur hjá Svartækni langar til þess að segja þér frá nokkrum af mörgum kostum Acer fartölunar og það þinn hagur að hlusta vel á. Acer mest selda fartölva í Evrópu í dag. Acer kostar aðeins frá 89.900 krónum. Acer hefur útlitið með sér. Acer hefur mjög lága bilunatíðni. Acer með Centrino-tækninni. Þráðlaus og hljóðlátt. Acer hvetur fólk til dáða. Svartækni, síðumúla 37, svar.is.
Ertu búin að skipta tímaremmuna? Eða ætlar að bíða hann sem slitnar? Þú veist hvað gerir þá? Drífið nú til Nikolai og fáðu nýja tímareið og fría vélastillingu með. Ekki missa þessu. Drífið þig núna. Nikolai, viðarstillingar, taxa fyrir 12. Sími 588-24-55. 588-24-55.
Gæða kaffi frá mér. Fæst nú í helbæða. Hefur þú prófað? Vissir þú að litlu Depend naglalökkinn eru eina vinsælustu naglalökkunum á markaðnum? Fáanleg í 60 litum, útsölustaðir, apótek og snyrtivöruverslanir.
Þann 16. september höfðu 20 einstaklingar látið lífið í umferðarslysum á Íslandi. Við skorum á alla Íslendinga að segja stopp. Þú getur lagt þitt af mörkum með því að fara inn á stopp.is og skrifa undir yfirlýsingu betri hegðun í umferðinni. Umferðarstofa.
Bifreiða eigendur, hafið þið kíkt á verði? Orkan, auðvitað. Hvernig væri að fá gæði og mýkt í svefnin? Þú finnir muninn daginn eftir. Verslunni gæði og mýkt, grensásvegi 12, sýni 5-11-19-16
Hraðlestrarskólin auglýsi námskeið eftir sumarið. Þetta segja nemendur hraðlestrarskólans námskeiðin. Frábært, markvisst, nýtmiðað, krefjandi, spennandi, árangursvíkt, hvetjandi, góður kennari og góð þjónusta. Kondó náði árangri hjá okkur, ný námskeið komin á dagskrá. Allar upplýsingar á heimasíðunni, h.is, er í síma 5-8-6-94-0-0, 5-8-6-94-0-0, hraðlestrarskólin h.is.
Gleruð að auðlýsir. Ný gleruðu vaxtalausar afborganir í alltaf 24 mánuði.